been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome to another edition of The Call on location in my car.
Is it the car or the call?
A little bit of both.
We should just change the name this summer.
The car call. There we go.
The car. Rev this engine up.
So, yeah, it's the off season. Not a lot's going on with the Ravens, but I had this idea. I ran it past you a couple weeks ago. Since it is the off season, we kind of want to continue to podcast. Because I don't know about you, but when a week goes by and I don't podcast, I feel wrong.
I re-listen to our old shows to get pumped up. Yeah. It's like, I miss it. And then I'm always texting you, like, what can we talk about? But there's literally... Ravens Nation news is dead right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's everybody's on vacation. Everybody's dead. Nothing's going on, man.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Like, Lardarius Webb got his hair cut. Like, who cares?
But you know, Ravens.com, they're getting paid to write that kind
they're
of stuff.
They're getting paid to do it.
It's
and
weird.
We're just there to talk about it because we're fans. But I had this idea because I feel as if this last season, the Ravens, they had a good season on the field, but off the field, I feel as if the Ravens didn't have the greatest season. And if you look at Facebook and that kind of stuff, everyone that I'm friends with is all excited about the O's season at the Orioles. And they should be. I mean, I love the O's as much as anybody.
Defending LA's champs, rightfully so. ALCS absolutely. Appearance.
But throughout this Ravens season, it wasn't as if anyone was excited about the Ravens again. And I think it's to do with the Ray Rice situation that happened earlier, that video surfacing, Haloti Ngata thing.
How about this? How about not only the Ravens, but how about the NFL in general?
Yeah.
I think people are fed up with football. Like I've ever told you, if it wasn't for my love for the team, I probably would bleed red for the Capitals or bleed orange for the O's. Like,
yeah.
I just would not be... I mean, my favorite sport is basketball. And that's weird coming from me because you know how enthusiastic I am of Ravens football.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me... The NFL's lost its luster. It's, you know, hockey's hard hitting. That's why I'm a hockey fan. I've seen it last night in the Caps game.
Yeah.
Hard hits, boards, there's hockey fights. I mean, yeah, they get penalized for it, but that's part of the sport's nature.
Sure, yeah.
In NFL, what do we live for? Big hits. And I think you see it across the sports in general. Not only that, but then I know we're coming up on a sensitive topic this week. I think today we're recording. I think it's the 14th anniversary of Dale Earnhardt passing and the 500s this weekend, NASCAR.
Yeah.
And then since that happened... And when he wrecked his car, and his car wreck wasn't even that vicious, but what happened there? They looked at a lot of safety rules and was like, oh, can't do this, can't do that. And a lot of NASCAR drivers are being what? They're being penalized for wrecking, for actually doing driving, racing.
Right.
That's racing. You think of football, hitting. What do you think of hockey? Hitting and fights and all that. What if they were to – I mean, you're the biggest Capitals fan that I know, apart from some of my friends of mine. And I know you do What the Puck podcast. I love listening to it and what we do on the Brandon Cash Network. But it's almost like what would you do if they took crashing into the boards out or if they took the hockey fights out? How would you feel? The same way.
Yeah.
It's almost like, for me, the NFL. So I don't think it's part of – you're right. It's part of the offseason where all the Ravens are in national spotlights, all the negativity. I want to stay away from it. But – I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Well, I mean, that's why people watch wrestling. That's why people watch the UFC.
Of course.
Why people are in hockey. Because people like those big hits. They like seeing knockouts and that kind of stuff. And I do think that the NFL and the
NHL...
People
just like violence.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or violent culture. We just like it.
That's why people watch the news. You're going to see it on the news every day.
Exactly.
But I...
Not to condone people getting hurt.
Right, right.
We hope they're okay.
Yeah.
But... I don't like men you, but I love watching UFC Saturday night fights and an armbar or someone getting their arm broken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an adrenaline rush, but yeah, you feel bad for them, but that's what they sign up for. That's UFC.
Right.
It's the same in the NFL. I mean, you can do so many rule changes, and Suggs has been vocal. A lot of players have been vocal, like it's hurting. So I think it could be the business of the NFL in general.
Yeah, and with particularly the Ravens, this past off season and during the regular season, there was a giant spotlight on them. You know, like I said, with Ray Rice and Haloti Ngata and all of this off the field controversy, and I think that was really affecting the way that the public is viewing that sport, that team. So my idea was with this podcast, since you and I have a voice on the web, that we kind of put our own stories out there. Now, this isn't to, you know, put over the Ravens Ravens or the NFL, but to just put a spotlight on something good, because that's like why I even wanted to start podcasting, is there's so much bad stuff out on the web. There's so much bad stuff in the world. I wanted to just, you know, talk to my buddy about the Ravens, talk to them about hockey on What the Puck, and just have fun with it. We're not here to say this guy should be fired, put in Tyrod Taylor, da-da-da-da-da. We're here to discuss the last week's game. We're here to say what we're expecting coming up, and that's pretty much it. So since it is the off season, I figured this was a good time to kind of talk about how the Ravens have affected our personal lives, how they have affected friends of ours, and maybe we'll do this once a month until training camp starts, but I wanted to start off this new kind of, you know, inspirational series with your own personal story. When we did bring up the Ray Rice incident, when the video surfaced last fall, you know, you brought up on the show that you've had your own, you know, personal things you had to go through. So I figured maybe we could just talk about that a little bit and how the Ravens were able to help you get through that.
Of course, man. A lot of times you in life you fall through a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. You find an escape, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's, you know, anything out there. I don't know what a lot of people have vices that they fall back on and they cover from.
Right.
For me, and I wrote a blog about this called, you know, the Purple Walls, and you know, surrounding yourself with the love of the Ravens, and it comes back for me because I've had my own spot of legal troubles, and I did touch on previously, but if anybody knows, I'm over 3 years sober. I've had
3 years?
3 years.
That's amazing.
About 1,000 days.
Wow.
I have to go back. I don't know what my 1,000th day was. If I already celebrated, I want to go back and celebrate it again.
Right.
1,000 days not drinking is an accomplishment for somebody.
Absolutely.
For me, it was a struggle. So I'm like relearning my 20s going into my 30s because mm-hmm. all my 20s, I set myself back financially. I learned a lot of legal stuff. I even spent some jail time in my life, and who'd have thought that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to say I was squeaky clean, but going through my life, it was a lot of, that'll never be me. I'm never being an AA meeting. You know, I was always one of those naysayers, like, I'm good, I'm fine.
Right.
Well, denial's the first sign, of course, and then when you're in it, you don't see the real problems. You should have hand. So my story led me, you know, over 5 years ago. It was actually earlier this month. It was the 5-year anniversary of my first DUI, Brandon, believe it or not. It was February 2nd, 2010.
Wow.
Got caught on my
first even
one.
Know that. I said, let's start this. That's kind of crazy that was, you know, 5 years to the same month.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So it's just about timing, man. And then, of course, I didn't learn my lesson. You know, went through the rigmarole of the classes and, I'll be sober for a while. And then I was on probation for a year and I was sober.
Right.
And then I went back into it and justified it, you know, because I was drinking hard liquor.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I blew over almost 3 times the legal limit. I was 0.2.
Wow.
The nurses said I should have died. I could have died, should have died. They said all the mm-hmm. things, heard it all. So I went back into it, and basically my whole story was, I'll stay away from liquor, I'll drink the beer. So during the following football season, I would stick to one beer during halftime. And then, one beer per half. And then I kind of re-upped. Then that was my second vice, because then less than 2 years later, a week before Christmas 2011, December 17th, got my second one.
Oh, wow.
I wrecked the car.
So real quick, let's just stick on that real quick. So it was kind of like, it was a little bit like a gateway, like, you took like one sip and you're like, well, I already took one sip. I can drink a whole thing and it'll be fine. And then it kind of like escalated throughout time of I can have a beer here. I can have two. I can have maybe three. And then it went on throughout like that first year.
You're right. And it would, of course, you lead into the fact that it's about tolerance, where I create mm-hmm. a high tolerance where I can drink 4, 5, 6 of them, wouldn't feel any effects. I need to drink 10 of them.
Yeah.
So everybody's was different. For me being lightweight, and the smallest guy I am, and my body weight, the liquor consumed me quicker than mm-hmm. my bigger friends. So it was like, we would go toe-to-toe in shots, and I didn't understand that being the young guy I was.
Right.
I could party with the best of them. And me being my personality, you know me. Mm-hmm. I'm always out there and like, let's do something crazy.
Yeah.
So I had to reassess my life and the partying. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. What happened was my story is, first DUI, I'll give you the story. It was a Wednesday night. It was local bar, betting shots. I did 3 Jaeger bombs in 20 minutes. We were betting shots. Like, guys, yeah, you know, testosterone test. Oh, I'm going to beat you. And, of course, I was losing.
Yeah.
So, and I was told to stay put, so I ended up driving the car. My buddy calls me, hey, you're my ride home. I'm like, oh, I'm going home. Sorry, bud. And I was coherent that time. But, of course, in the time it took the liquor to consume me.
Right.
I pulled into a local gas station to get gas. I was getting gas pumping the car. Next thing I know, I had a person approach me saying, there he is. Next thing I know, I'm back of a cop car in handcuffs, dude.
Oh,
it was
wow.
like, I didn't know what happened. It was like a dream. Like, is this real? So apparently, from what I was told from the police report I read in the officer, I pulled into the gas station, hit a car on the way in, didn't know it.
Oh.
I blacked out. During the field test, didn't even know administered. Apparently, I blew a .2, didn't even know that.
Wow.
And, yeah, so the rest is history. So I had 4 tickets. I had a hit and run because I fled the technical scene, quote-unquote, of the crime because I hit the car but kept going to the gas pump. So it was, like, feet away, but still.
Right.
Point. And so at that point, you know, I thought I was going to lose my license. I kept my license dearly. I had the whole interlock system, the whole blower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a whole joke. And my friends joke about that for a while. But you know, with that, I paid dearly for my license because obviously with the car, driving is a privilege. Car gets you to work.
Yeah.
Work gets you money. Obviously no money pays legal fees. So it was kind of like a big cycle.
Yeah.
So you're talking to a dude who paid... Check this out. I'm not A it on my own yet. I was going to move out. I had all my life savings gone. Lawyers, fees, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Try $515 a month car insurance on top of a $270 car payment.
Oof.
Just for that.
Yeah.
Then $120 a month for the interlock system, then your gas.
Mm-hmm.
I was paying well over $1,000 a month just for a car to on the road.
Wow.
Just to go to work.
Yeah.
For
and
a car.
And you're a young guy, so, you
right.
know, everybody's not.
And I'm not breaking the world open making big bucks money either.
Nobody at that age is making millions and millions of bucks.
Of course, not even thousands.
Yeah.
So I'm running on a ramen noodle budget. And,
right.
You know, as they say, the cliche is, and here I am. So, and then the second one did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Car insurance jacked up, got the second one. But I wrecked the car. I was kind of pissed off because what happened was I was behind a tractor trailer. And the tractor trailer was going so slow, I'm going on the back roads. And I wrecked the car. But not as severe as the first one. I slid into a ditch because it was icy and wet out, and it snowed.
Yeah.
It was like raining and snowing the night before. It was a week for Christmas, December. And this is how dumb I was. I was 5 minutes from home. I always joke and say when I say the statement, I wasn't that messed up comparing myself to the first DUI, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So in retrospect, I was like, I didn't think about calling my mom or calling my best friend, because let alone I called my best friend the night I got caught, because
right.
I didn't want to confront my parents because I was so messed up.
Right.
I knew it was going to be a fight ensuing. So, and I called the cops. I called 911 for a tow truck.
Oh, wow.
It rest is history. I mean, you can say.
Yeah.
So they sent 2 county cops, and I had 3 options. Face the music, run, just run from the scene and flee it, and leave the car there and then call my mom somewhere and be like, all right, the car, can you pick me up? But I was drinking, so I didn't want to get in trouble.
Right.
Or... say, a friend of mine drove, and he was drunk, apparently, and I was drunk in the passenger seat, and he fled off in the woods, and I was just going to let them take me home. No, I fessed up. I said it was me driving. I fessed up to it, and the second one landed me 12 days in jail. The correlation is, in me tying with the Ravens, you might sit here and listen to my story. What's the story got to do with anything? Of course, it's my personal story. I want to get it out there.
Sure.
But a lot of things have helped me through... my life. My parents have been my greatest mentors, my pastor, my brothers, my best friends have been dear. My best friend, one of my best dearest friends picked me up the night of my first DUI.
Mm-hmm.
I always repay him for that. And we give the shots and tell him his name is Noel. He's awesome. Not to put him on a pedestal, all my friends and family are awesome, but, you know.
You got a nice, tight-knit group.
It is. It was somebody that I trust. I only trust 3 or 4 people in my life. So I'm like, where I could have called him that and be like, dude, bail me out.
Yeah.
Like, I need to get out. So... in retrospect, the state wanted 30 days. The judge said 45 at the end of the rule. But he paused, and I about wanted to fall over because I was like, 45 days, my life's over. I can't spend 45 days in jail. It's a long time.
And
even a day is a long time. But he said all 30 suspended, 15 days served over 5 weekends, because I got the reality of this, dude. I got my freedom taken away for 48 hours a week and then got to go back into the world. So I got to taste it. I knew what it was like at 7 o'clock when I had to go in on Friday night.
Yeah.
I knew what it was at 7 o'clock in the evening on Sunday when I got out.
Oh wow.
It was a humbling experience when you go to, I don't know if you've ever visited Body in Jail before. Have you
been
a visitor?
No.
Well, going in there, I mean the movies portray it and some of them do a real good job of portraying what's really like in there.
Uh-huh.
It's a different experience when you get your freedom taken away from you and the door slams.
Yeah.
And it's like barbed wire everywhere and guards with guns and you're like, this is legit. Like, I gotta wise up here.
Yeah.
And then you're processed, and it's just a lot of things that can happen. And I've seen some stuff in there that was like, it was scary. But then I was left alone, so thank God I was. And
So you didn't have to deal with, like, anybody when you were in there?
Not necessarily. I mean, there was one altercation, but it wasn't involved with me. It was kind of like...
You were there when it all
It was kind of like guilty by, I was standing there, and I was the only one that was standing there, so it must have been me. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the cookie jar and the lid's open on the counter, but I happened to be in the kitchen when somebody walked in. Oh, you ate the cookies. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that scenario. I won't go into what was involved. But it was an eye-opening experience. You know, serving the 3-course meals a day. I tell you what, Brandon, the only joke I come out of jail was, I think I had the most sleep in my life. Because I would purposely keep myself up Wednesday and Thursday night all night long. I would go into work with an hour's of sleep running on 2 and 3 cans of Red Bull a day.
Yeah.
Because once Friday night hit, I was out like a light sleeping for 12, 13, 14 straight hours.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the only way I could get through.
Yeah. So you had to do that, what, how many weeks?
4 weeks straight.
4 weeks.
Wow. So it was a month. It was the end of May into June.
Wow. So, like, I know, like, when I'm, I mean, this is horrible to compare, but when I have to work on the weekends, I don't look forward to it. Like, the
kidding.
Yeah, like, the entire week, like, Monday, Tuesday, I'm like, God, right. I gotta work Saturday. I cannot.
I work Saturdays, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine what was going through your head going in like that and going in for a couple days, you know,
right.
And not being able to, like, be in your own bed, not being able to, you know, see your family for, you know, so many hours or whatever. That, I mean, that had to have been like an eye-opening experience for you. It had to have been, you know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or anything, but it just had to be, obviously, it had a huge effect on you. And when you and I became friends, it was, I mean, I've told this story many times. You and I met at a Ray Lewis appearance, at a signing, and we just kind of like, you were like, hey, is the seat taken? And literally we just started talking.
That's how it worked. That's how it worked.
And we'll go into that story, like, we'll go in deep later, but we went to an O's game. I don't know if you remember this. And it was just when we started hanging out. You and I went to an O's game. I bought tickets and somebody dropped out. A friend of mine dropped out. And it was for like a section of seats. And it was this group that had a party at Hooters downtown. It was all you can eat wings, all you can drink. And I remember,
yes,
I got a Natty Bow. You got a water or a Mountain Dew or something. And I was like, what are you doing? Well, like, why aren't you going to get a drink? And you said, I don't do that anymore. I don't drink anymore.
Right.
And then you told me this whole story and you said I was inside, I guess, for the same amount of days as Ray Lewis. And that stuck with me because I was like,
right.
Oh, I'm like, so this is why, this has to be one of the reasons why, like, Ray is such a big inspiration to him. This is why he's such a big Ravens fan. And that's why because, like, we were standing in line to meet Ray Lewis, and you, like, were bouncing off the walls. You're like, I can't
you
wait
know
to,
me, man.
I can't wait to see him. He's right there. He's been through so much. This is such a cool guy, da-da-da-da. And really, it was just such an interesting thing to see because you were so happy to see him, and then I realized after we had talked, after we spent some time together at Hooters, realizing, oh, this is why he's so into it, and he's got a personal story about that. So tell me a little bit about how after you did what you had to do, and you went away for those weekends, tell me what it was like, you know, when you got out of there and how, like, the Ravens were able to, you know, and Ray Lewis was able to, you know, kind of help you on your track now.
I appreciate that. I'm actually trying to look it up on my smartphone as we talk about it now. There's an article. It's in and I have the article saved, of course, the issue. It's it's at a 2000. It was written in 2006 when Steve McNair was our quarterback and we had the best Ravens record at 13-3.
Uh-huh.
It was a Sports Illustrated Ray in a suit with his hands folded saying "Gospel according to Ray Lewis," and
right.
It was about his trials and tribulations, and of course, we all know what it's like being with that because of Ravens. We know what Ray Rice went through. We know what Ray Lewis went through. And I'm trying to find the excerpt, but in comparing that, because he even said he was in jail 15 days and God showed him a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the whole – he was going around how the Super Bowl, how he envisioned being there. And that's why Ray's story is so awesome, and that's why I'm drawn to him so strongly as I am. And him being the face of the franchise and having a statue and all that, it's not to be glorified. Mm-hmm. It's an example to show that's leaving a legacy.
Yeah.
And he even said it in his speeches, and paraphrasing, he said, statue and remembrance is the ultimate. I mean, remember Johnny Unitas, he's one of our greatest players, but he was also a great person. And again, you know, anybody out there listening, I'm not glorifying any person, anything, but it's about remembrance and it's about, you know, looking to others for mentors. I mean, I'm watching this show, Coaching Bed, mm-hmm. and Ray Lewis is on the Coaching Bed. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's about mentorship. It's about him not being, you know, and there's a lot of ties with Ray Lewis's story about personally that I know that if I told you, you'd be like, wow. Because mm-hmm. Ray Lewis grew up without a father.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, and getting back to what I was discussing, is Ray's tribulations, and you can compare anybody's. You can compare, you know, Christ himself. You can compare anybody that was involved in any trials or tribulations in their life. It changes you. Either mm-hmm. makes you or breaks you. And with Ray, it was, what do I do with my life?
Yeah.
Do I go up or down? So in reviewing the accounts of his story, what did Ray do? We know what Ray did. He picked himself up ultimately, and he took it to his team and said, look, thank you for supporting me, but he knew his vision. And that's why I compared it when I always said that God, you know, gave him the vision. I'm not comparing my situation to Ray Lewis, but I thought it was unique, and I hold on that story is, if Ray can make it through 15 days in jail, I can. Because I knew no one personally at the time that they went through jail, and I'm like, how do you do it? It was like, so I, and me being a big Reagan fan and Ray Lewis fan,
yeah.
It, in Baltimore, it was kind of like I was drawn to that story and was like, that helped me through. And a lot of things he said in the article, if anybody's read it, I strongly encourage you to read it. I'm still trying to look at it online. I don't know if it's out there online, but I'm still trying to look for it. But yeah, he said something about that. And then I think I found it here. Let me see here. I know I'm bouncing off the walls here. But basically, yeah, Ray Lewis has just said that, you know, he was in jail 15 days and God showed him a vision. And that got me through. And we think about the Ravens now. How's John Harbaugh always preached? Adversity.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get through the Super Bowl year with Ray Lewis being out the remainder of the year for and Ladarius Webb in the same game? How did we get through the Ray Rice situation? And look, we came out of nowhere. We barely made it to the playoffs, and we made it to the division round, and we were on the brink of an AFC title game,
right.
If not for a few plays made here or there.
Mm-hmm.
We took it to the now eventual Super Bowl champions. The Ravens surprised them, I think, even ourselves, and in covering the team, I'm like, are you kidding me? We did what? We were the sixth seed. We were one of three teams in our division, and yet we beat our divisional leader and champion at their place for the first time in the postseason ever. We made history. It's incredible. So all the Ravens know throughout the whole tenure has been adversity.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Super Bowl year? You know, not scoring an offensive touchdown in 21 quarters, but we went on. We started 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
We lost 3 straight. We were 5-4. And then they reeled 7 straight off and then won all those 4. There was a lot of tribulations. And me personally, I attached myself to the Ravens because I feed off of that. It was my fuel. It was my fire. It was, you know, raising an intensity and motivator. And it was, okay, if Ray can do it, I can. Because it's not like I can look to my own father and say, well, he went to jail, I can do it. My own father didn't go.
Right.
But Ray Lewis did. So it was kind of like that mentorship to where it was like, if he were sitting in front of me, I knew what he would say to me. And a lot of his scriptures, too, where you know how Ray's no weapon cry during the playoffs, and it was no weapon formed against him as shall prosper, and that's one of the greatest scriptures I look to because that's what kept me going. Yes, this was before the Super Bowl title, but it kept me going because what happened through it all? The Super Bowl title happened in the midst of my recovery and in the midst of my final years of probation for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when he kept saying no weapon, that's what it was like for me in there. It was, I can get through it. If I can get through another hour of sleep, another meal, one more weekend. And I'll tell you what, the final time I was in jail, it was a Friday night, but I had to be, how unique it is, because you get time off for the good behavior.
Right.
I was in 4 weekends and a day. When I say a day, it was the evening. I had to go in Friday at 7 and get released at midnight on Saturday. So I was only in there 5 hours. The longest 5 hours of my life. Sometimes I think work days are long.
Yeah.
When you're in there 5 hours and you're in a little cell with 2 other people because they were in the same way. But nothing was better than the feeling that when they opened those doors of freedom and I walked out of there on the midnight of Saturday, it was beautiful, man. It was your freedom's back. You're back. And that was the hardest thing I had to do. And another personal story of mine, and along with this, and it shows you that you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with, like, the mystery shop program, how people secret shop and
score
you.
Sure.
And it's a lot of customer service surveys. Well, me being employed where I was scored on surveys by, you know, client feedback of my service to them. And one of my, I think it was like the second or third week after I was in jail, my boss called me in office and said, can I see you for a minute? And I said, what's going on? Usually when you get called in, it's either you're getting a raise or something, or something. You're either getting praised or you're getting smacked.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, okay, what did I do? Because, you know, I didn't do or anything to get a raise. So what happened was, in retrospect, she pulled up the survey numbers and she said, these are your scores. And they were 100%. Perfect. But she goes, notice the dates. I want you to look at the dates. Brandon, and I might get choked up saying this because it's a powerful thing, and it motivates me to this day, because no matter how bad of a day you had, I went into work Monday morning knowing that I just got out of jail all weekend. And I had perfect mystery shops every single Monday after I got out of jail. Perfect.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, man. It's powerful because I was able to sit in the face of a public at a local bank dressed in a suit and tie and provide service to people and smile at them, not knowing that before I had my freedom taken away not even 48 hours earlier.
Yeah.
While they were all sleeping, marrying, having a great weekend, going out, partying and having a good time with the friends or getting other families, I was in a jail cell all weekend. But I came out and I put a smile on my face and said, look, I'm going to be the best person I can be. And you betcha believe I did. And that motivates me as they know. And I always think about that. Mm-hmm. That, and I have the scores printed out at home. And I keep them as motivation. So no matter how bad my day gets, I said, you know what? I was in jail and I can do anything.
Yeah.
And me personally, it fuels my fire. If I can do that, I can do anything.
Yeah.
And of all the financial difficulties I've been through, they're all under the bridge now and I'm trying to wean that. And you've seen it. I mean, I have a brand new car. I'm trying to become debt free. I just paid off a credit card. So things are starting to go in the right direction. I have a new job. I've always had my part-time jobs, but my employer stuck with me too.
Yeah.
You know, and you see like the, I mean, I'm not, obviously what I did wasn't murder. I mean, drinking and driving could be, it's a serious offense. I mean, you could kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know the ramifications of what I've done. I've already been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I've had the personal judgment myself and I had to clean myself inside and out. But, you know, it's almost like you equate with the Patriots had when Aaron Hernandez is going to die for murder. They cut ties with him. What happened when Ray Rice got in trouble? Ray Evans had to cut ties. It's that personal image.
Yeah.
But see, my employer didn't do that. I was employed with a top 10 company mm-hmm. in the banking world. And actually, it was a top 5 bank in the U.S., believe it or not. And they could have been like, well, we don't want that reputation around Baltimore. We don't want that reputation around here. We don't want him to employ a banker of that magnitude if he's messing up his life like that. Because even I had a coworker the night after one of my DUIs. I came in and he said I reeked of alcohol. He's like, dude, he goes, I'm offended that a customer might smell that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was kind of like a wake-up call, like, I'm in the public eye, I better get my crap straight.
Yeah.
So when things happen to that nature, they eye-open the experiences and wake you up, and they shake you. And a lot of times it's, I know Harbaugh preaches that. It's, you know, if an injury happens, like, how many times, look, last year, you know, Ray Rice situation, Dennis Pitta going down, this happening. You know, even in the Super Bowl year, we fired offensive coordinator 3 weeks left in the season or 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that we'd be in Super Bowl champs?
Yeah.
Believe it or not. Who would have thought that we had to go to Denver and then to New England?
Right, right.
We overcome a mile high mirror. It was kind of those things that it's like you believe. I'm not about you. I can't remember because the whole thing was a blur. You were with me the night of the Jacoby Jones catch, weren't you?
Yes, yeah. We were at Silver Spring.
Yes, I remember that. And that place went absolutely freaking bonkers, we know. But because I still could, I remember my reaction. But you remember the look on my face when I knew it was and I was disbelief. I did not have belief.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I had the weapon mentality was, oh, well, there's a weapon, and it's 30 seconds, no timeouts, and 80 yards.
Right.
This ain't happening.
Right.
But the tie to game. No. And I even said, there's going to be some fluke play to happen. Look what happened.
Right.
A wing, a flick, and a prayer, and everything worked out timely. The Jacoby got behind the guy and caught the ball. We know what happens. Caught, touchdown.
Yeah.
Kodger's going crazy in the booth. You know, Hayes in the barn. You think it's in the barn because you're like, oh, we're going to overtime. We're going to beat him. And it was everything setting up. And then we went back to New England for the year before. Bailey Cunningham missed the field goal. Talk about adversity. Lee Evans, catch. We thought it was a catch. It looked like a catch. Still, to me, it's kind of a catch. I don't know.
Right.
So, again, adversity. This team has always preached adversity. Harbaugh has been very great about that. And that was even talked about that some of the ESPN analysts even said that this year. Don't know what shows it was on, but it was about Harbaugh's ability to take that and feel it. It's us against the world mentality. You know that with the Ravens. It's always been that we're the bad guys. Everybody hates the Ravens.
Yeah.
And then no one picks us. And then here we go. We defy logic. We defy the odds. And You know, who'd have thunk it? I mean, like I said, we were on the brink of another AFC title game. We've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've drawn to the Ravens in the form of, and it's something to look forward to, man. I mean, it's my passion. It's my heartbeat. It's the way I can cut loose. And you might think, well, how do you go crazy? And you've seen it. I tailgate crazy, and I don't drink.
Yeah.
And people think I'm drunk. You know, they're like, hey, you've been drinking? Nope. I'm just crazy. You know, they move red contacts, face black, helmet.
Yeah.
They think I'm crazy. And I'm like, I even had it when I went on the road. They're like, how much has this bunkers had to drink? I'm like, nothing. I had a 5-hour energy, great flavor. And they're like, you don't need one. I'm like, but I did.
Yeah.
So
that kind of stuff doesn't bother you either. Like, you being around that type of environment, there's no temptation for you to go back to it. It's not a factor anymore.
No, and you said, and you brought up earlier, and I was going to touch on this too, about like you said, like half a one stop, and then you had to get a full one. My problem wasn't the addiction. I never had the withdrawals and the shakes and the cravings.
Yeah.
Mine was, once I started, I could not stop.
Yeah.
It was, when people ask me how much to drink, I don't know. If I started and it was in the party environment and someone handed me a shot, I probably would drink 5 or 10 shots and wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
And then end up sick. If I was handed a beer, I was probably 6-7 beers in deep and I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
But in retrospect, I fueled it to add it to my passion for the Ravens and my passion for seeing people, you know, lifted up and seeing people that, hey, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, hey, the whole Ray Lewis can do it, you can do it. No, Ray's a different breed.
Yeah.
Ray's Ray Lewis. But I looked at it to that as my scapegoat to saying, hey, I needed something to look forward to and get me through my trials. And if he did it and I seen the vision and how he turned out, and look what happened. You know, he was, you know, I don't know what happened with that whole altercation, but look what happened. He was back in his hometown and Super Bowl MVP. And
it's not about that one particular
no.
event. It's more about how you respond to, you know, when you're down. Can you pick yourself back up? Do you take, you know, the easy way out? And obviously, you know, what happened to you is you left that as an experience and then thinking,
yes.
like, I need to make a change. I need to do this. I need to do that and get myself straightened out. And you have, like you said, started this off 3 years. You haven't had any kind of drink, which is, I mean, amazing. It's something to be very, very proud of. And the fact that you can, you know, talk to me about it and put it out for the world to hear is also very, very brave for you to do. And it's definitely something that is very honorable. So I got to say, you know, I guess thanks for telling me about this whole story. Thanks
Welcome,
for telling
man.
The whole world about it. And I think, you know, I guess, like you said, it's Ray's a different kind of person, and you know, the Ravens are kind of like your outlet now of like where you can put a lot of your focus on too. But I mean, you got to be a strong person to go through what you did, and then not just, you know, go, all right, well, that's over, I'm going to go back to the way it was. And you made a change. Change is never easy. You made a change. You stuck with it, and obviously, you're in a much better place now. So I mean, you got to be proud of yourself for that.
I am, man, and it's very humbling experience to know, you know, what you've been through.
Yeah.
And to, you know, your friends don't judge you for that. I had to drop certain friends and associations, but it's about that association and closeness, and they know, they respect that. They go,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, he's been through it, and we're not going to be associated with that. And I'm happy, man. I'm happy in a better place. Get away from the party scene, the bar crowd. I'm getting too old. I mean, I'm almost 30.
Yeah.
Hate to say it, but again, but I mean, having fun. I mean, 30's a new 20. I want to relive my 20s, and I'm coming back bigger than ever. But I'm doing it. And I'm definitely going to end on a high note and saying, this has been a great experience talking to you about this. I definitely don't mind. I'm
mm-hmm.
not shy about it. Anybody
yeah.
can ask me. I mean, it's public knowledge if you really research it.
Right.
To be honest with you, but I'm going to pull up one of the great Ray Lewis quotes. And we're going to share this. And, of course, there's many of them. How can you pick one? But I'm going to take a moment and share one of my personal ones. This is Ray Lewis. No matter what circumstances that you may be going through, just push through it. And he always said that there's no pleasure without pain.
Mm-hmm.
He said pain. Ray Lewis is quoted saying, pain exists to let you know you're still alive. And you might have to go through it. But pain is necessary to live.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know that, hey, you still feel. I can flick you right now and you'd be like, hey, that hurt, dude. But, hey, you can feel. You got feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't lost your feeling. You can, you know, you have to fall down to pick back up. And I think that in a lot of times, and you can grab on the million motivational quotes that are out there. Oh, Michael Jordan failed millions of times and that's why he succeeds and all that. That's what it's about. It's about coming together as one, and the Ravens are my scapegoat, man. I do them every day, and I do want to do something for good and put it out there. And what I've been through, it's just a minor, it's a minor speed bump in the road to success, man.
Yeah, and hopefully somebody is listening to this, maybe kind of going through the same thing you went through and realizing, you know.
Right.
And there's light at the end of the tunnel.
There is. And like football, I mean, look at these guys. I mean, you know, NFL players, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I've been to training camp. I've seen these guys.
Yeah.
There's guys put in hours. You don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They work out. They're at training camps. It's almost like the Super Bowl. There's 32 teams. One team can win it every year. Mm-hmm. The Ravens strive for that every year, and they're in contention every single year they're successful.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in life. Every day you got to wake up, you got to go to work, you got to PSF, you got to bed, you might be tired. You probably don't want to go to the gym today. Oh, my God, my back hurts, my legs hurt. I mean, I did leg day a few days ago. My legs are killing me, dude.
Right.
But it doesn't – but it feed off of that.
Yeah.
You turn it into fuel and to say, you know what? Like me, I'm motivated to get out of debt because of my legal troubles put me on. I said, I want to be able to use that for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through so much crap in my life that I deserve to do something good for me.
Yeah.
So you know what? Me having my season tickets, that's my scapegoat. Mm-hmm. That's my reward saying, it's going to be all right. Nothing's more satisfying than being in those purple seats come 1 o'clock or 12:45 when they're doing the lose yourself and the team comes out and I'm going epically crazy,
right,
screaming the players' names and Joe comes out and Joe and Suggs when he does his thing. And it's just, there's nothing like tailgating. There's nothing like being there with camaraderie. And see, my friends know that.
Yeah.
And they know that's my crazy side, but that's also me. That's my escape for 3 hours a week for 48 hours a year. That is my scapegoat. And do not take that away from me. And this is why I love Baltimore. This is why it's forever, like Ray Lewis said, my city.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's home. It's that scapegoat. It's family. They don't judge. And the Ravens family has always been gracious, and they always welcome anybody, you know, whether it's outside players, whether it's, you know, whatever. I mean, remember how we were joking how friendly we were when we were welcoming the Trestman family? But that's how we are.
Yeah.
It's, hey, you're one of us now. You're family, bro.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how we treat them. You're purple and black forever. You're Baltimore. I don't care where you came from. If you're on Pittsburgh's coaching staff, if you were, hey, you're wearing our colors, you're fine. You know, that's how we treat like family. And I just wanted to put my story out there. And I really hope anybody enjoyed that. If it touched you, I really, that's my whole point.
Yeah.
Share my story. So, hey, if you have a fan or family member who's been through what I've been through or worse or even little, at least, hey, you know, you got a normal guy out there that, hey, you support my podcast. You probably didn't know I went through all that. But, hey, I'm still smiling, enthusiastic as ever, and doing my Ravens. It doesn't change who I am.
Yeah.
It just makes me a better person, and I'm not down the wrong road and where I was before.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good spot to end it right there. And I think this was a great first kind of like inspirational show that we've done. I mean, you got a really amazing story, and you're still living through everything. So I think that's a great a great thing. But next week we'll be back doing a regular show because the combine is this weekend.
That's right.
And we'll maybe discuss, you know, some people that we think that Harbaugh and the coaches have an eye on and how this might impact the draft. But if you want to talk to Josh or I, we are both on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at GQ52 as always.
All right, very cool. So make sure you go like The Call over on Facebook, facebook.com/The Call Podcast. Go like Brando Cash Entertainment, BrandoCash.com, as well as facebook.com/BrandoCash. Get all the information you need about this podcast and all the other podcasts that we put out throughout the year. What else should I tell them? Oh, yeah, we're also available for free. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report.
You're getting rusty.
I know, right? I usually
like,
have
what else
all
should
down
I tell
pat.
Them?
Yeah.
It's free. You download it. It's fun.
It's free.
It's The Call.
And since this is a different show, this is the off season, but if you enjoyed what we talked about today, let other people know about it. Like Josh said, I don't want to use this as a marketing ploy, but if you do have someone kind of going through maybe what Josh went through, little or bigger or whatever, maybe, you know, let them listen to this show as well and let them know that, you know, stuff gets dark, but as long as you kind of stick with what you're supposed to be doing and you kind of go through it and you make a change, that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel and people can move on from that. So maybe just tell people about that and share this show with people.
That's right, man.
So yeah, so even though we'll be back next week and this is a different show than usual, I still want you to take it out the way you always do.
Got it, my Brandon. Thank you very much, my friend, and really can't wait to get after some Ravens football talk. Combine is next. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with everybody out there on the airwaves. And again, we might do another one down the road. Who knows? Can't wait to – if you've been through trials, hear your story one of these days. And appreciate you giving me the opportunity to get that out there and share what was on my mind and heart. Greatly appreciate it, Brandon. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man.
To all those who are listening, and it's a nice break from football talk to really talk about some real-life issues that are going on today. Mm-hmm. We know we already had the domestic violence talk this year for Ray Rice, but enough for that. But it's been a very great treat, and we can't wait to set the table. The combine's ahead of us, and we know what the Ravens do best. Not only play football, but what do? We draft. We draft winners. And,
very good.
C.J. Mosley is just another shining example of what we do.
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, picked him out first round and
Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowler. Not even Ray Lewis or Ogden did that.
Yeah.
So it's it's just a treat to see the Ravens do what they do, and I can't wait to get after it. One of these days, I really hope to get up there and see it live like I was supposed to last year and it fell through, but we'll get there. But we're going to be covering the combine, who we should be looking out for, what our team needs are, any free agents out there, because I know the Marshall plan has been trying to be in effect, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And with that being said, we're going to fly high into the Ravens offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.